Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on American Family Radio. My headset. Okay. Having to readjust my headset here. Some people would say what you really need to do is readjust your head.
Who would say that?
I don't know. Mean people.
Hey, while you're doing that, can
go ahead. Why don't you do whatever you're going to do then?
I want to encourage people. On October 8th at 7 p.m. Central Time, we will be airing AFA at Home with Walker Wildman. It is a virtual town hall meeting featuring conversations about the significant cultural issues in our nation. Abraham Hamilton III was one of the guests. Well, he's a home team player, but guests we had from elsewhere outside the ministry, Tim Barton, of Wall Builders, the Benham Brothers, David and Jason, Dr. Richard Land, Star Parker, Sandy Rios was also on this, is on this, religious liberty, censorship and social media, sanctity of life, the judicial branch, socialism, and the threat to America's republic. You can pre-register to watch this special event online for free. It's fantastic. You are not going to want to miss this. To pre-register, visit afaaction.net. That's afaaction.net. This free online event is brought to you by the American Family Association and AFA Action.
Steve Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Hey, Abe, ask Abe to hang around for a minute, Abraham Hamilton III. I wanted to ask you first, Steve.
Yeah.
I wanted to continue for just for a minute, if we can, we were discussing the upcoming presidential election, and if you go to Real Clear Politics,
at which side I am,
okay, they've had Joe Biden ahead of Donald Trump in national polling
across the board. Yeah,
I don't know, anywhere 5 to 8 points, wouldn't you say?
The Real Clear, and all of these numbers are from the Real Clear Politics polls. The RCP poll average is Biden up 6.6% points,
which is about what Hillary Clinton was up, if I remember correctly, at this same juncture. And we haven't had any debates yet. And you got a lot of people who don't follow politics until, you know, 2 or 3 weeks out from the election. Then they ask 2 or 3 people, who should I vote for? So that there is part of that out there. But I've not seen a lot of movement, Steve, in the polls. A lot of movement. But I mean, by a lot, I would say more than 3 to 4 percentage points in any of the states other than maybe 2 or 3 states.
Some of them are getting closer. I know that Florida is getting closer for President Trump.
No, it's a tie.
Yes. Yeah, essentially.
A virtual tie.
Essentially, 1.5 points. North Carolina is widening for Biden, but that was he's up less than a point there. That's a toss-up, too. So, yeah, a couple of them are moving a little bit, but you're right. Pretty much they've been stuck.
Well, yesterday, the poll said Georgia and Iowa were tightening. Is that what it says? You see that?
Yeah, Georgia and Iowa have Trump leading. And again,
by how much?
A point in change.
Okay. If I'm using this metaphorically because I know other people have used it literally. I have a hat here in front of me that I now put on my head, which is typically where we put hats, right? And if Joe Biden wins Georgia, I will take said hat and eat it. Now, I'll eat as much as I can.
I sure hope I don't have to bring the barbecue sauce.
Joe Biden is not winning Georgia or Texas. That's just you can
forget. Both of those are considered toss-ups.
Okay, what I'm saying, Abe, is that if and I have nothing to base this on other than my opinion, and I read a lot on this topic, so I am educated on it. That is polling, research, and those kinds of things, and experience watching elections. But Joe Biden is not winning Georgia. And if you're telling me that Biden and Trump are tied in Georgia, then it's going to be a blowout for Biden. If that's true. I don't believe that. Because I don't believe that, Abe, it tends, and don't tell me that Biden is, they're tied in Texas either. Okay? Well, you can tell me that, but I don't believe it. So, that says to me, okay, if they're telling me, if these polls are telling me that Biden and Trump are tied in Georgia and Texas, and even Iowa to a certain extent, although Iowa is kind of, can go blue or red. But Georgia's a red state. Texas is a red state. If you're telling me they're tied, I'm saying, no, that's not true. I'm saying Trump's up 4-5.
So you're questioning the polling.
Yeah. Which makes me look at the polls, and every one I look at, I go, well, probably need to add 3 or 4 points to Trump's totals right there. Doesn't mean he's going to win. He could be 7 points behind in Wisconsin, for example, and lose by 3 or 4 percentage points in the end. I'm just saying, I'm factoring in a three percentage point, change when I look at them. When I look at the polls.
I think you are expressing a sentiment that a lot of people may have themselves after the absolute embarrassment that the polling industry suffered in 2016. I mean, many of them had Hillary Clinton up by double digits, you know, not just up, but up by double digits all the way through Election Day, you know. And I know there are some pollsters who've expressed some form of contrition, but there have been many that haven't made any adjustments, and they're continuing with the same type of polling exercise that they did prior to 2016, simply because of the ideological bent that many of the people who man the polls maintain. And so I think 2016 was the year where the polling as an entire industry was called into question. And when you combine that with the cultural phenomenon that has our society so polarized, how many people really are responding to polls and how many are responding what they really are going to do on Election Day?
Hey, Steve.
Sir.
I just pulled up Real Clear Politics, which is realclearpolitics.com, which is the site you were saying.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've seen this. At the top of their polling for Wednesday, February 23rd, it says Florida. A ABC News Washington Post poll shows Trump 51, Biden 47. I've not seen that at all. I've seen a tie. I've seen Biden up 3 or 4. That's the first poll I've seen that shows. Now, that may change tomorrow, okay?
Right.
I'm sure it will. But that's the first poll. If that trends, then obviously, Steve, President Trump can't afford to lose Florida. He has to win Florida.
So. Yeah, I think, well, right now there are 10 states that President Trump won in 2016 that Real Clear Politics polling averages have as toss-ups. It's inconceivable that 8 of those wouldn't go his way this time, in my mind. But, so I'm looking at the CNBC poll, the ABC Washington Post poll that has Trump up 4. The average of polls is still Biden a 1 and change.
Here's another one. I hadn't seen them before till today. Arizona. ABC News, Washington Post. Again, that's a liberal news organization. Doesn't mean that their polling can't be correct. I'm just saying it's a liberal news organization. They've got, in their survey today, they released Trump up 1 in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had not seen that till today. I've seen Trump down in Arizona on every poll I've seen for the last month by 3, 5, 6 points. Arizona's going to be close, you would think. But
these polls, and by the way, in terms of, again, RealClearPolitics.com, they're showing leaning or solid for Biden in terms of the Electoral College, 222 electoral votes. Leaning or solid for Trump, 125, and then 191 in toss-up states. So that is a lot of toss-up votes, and this election is still very fluid. We have not had our first debate. You've had the coronavirus thrown in with all of the unknowns connected to that. I think polling at this point is a very dicey proposition.
I think it is. And let's just run through the states that it lists as toss-ups. Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, New Hampshire, Texas, Arizona, and Nevada.
Texas and Georgia are not toss-ups.
Iowa, too, at least on
Iowa.
My map.
Yeah, Iowa. Those are didn't I say Iowa?
Yes, you did.
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Yes, I'm not rebuking you, Abe.
No, I understand.
You're naming the 10 that the pundits are saying are the 10 toss-up states. And I'm saying you can take Georgia and Texas out of that. There are 8 toss-up states. Trump will win Georgia, and the hat will be eaten. And Texas, I guess I would have to eat a 10-gallon hat if Texas has lost to Biden. I just don't. If that's the case, sign me up for the new country, the new Venus trip, or wherever Elon Musk.
We're doing fine over here, by the way.
Wherever Elon Musk is going to set up a camp out there. So, anyway, very interesting, the polling. And now there are polls that show, there's a poll, a CNBC poll, that shows Biden up 3 in Florida. But I'm just saying, when I look over here, I've not seen a poll that shows Trump up by 4 until today in Florida. I've not seen a poll which shows Trump up in Arizona at all until today. So, and as Ed said, it's very fluid. We've got the debates. We'll have to see what happens there coming up. And
Abe, you mentioned the disparity of the polls in 2016, how badly they were off, and the fact that Trump voters are maybe not ready to admit to anybody that they're going to be voting for him. Did anybody definitively decide that was what the problem was with the polls in 2016?
I don't know if anybody definitively decided it. I know it was a combination of perhaps that, but also there was some admission that a lot of the polls oversampled Democrat voters. A lot of the polls completely ignored people in the middle of the country, didn't even seek to get members, American citizens in the middle of the country, to respond to the polls. There were never any efforts to travel to any of these other areas, that much of the polling was done right from New York and right from Silicon Valley, and having a heavy oversampling of Democrat voters.
I would assume that those type of errors have been fixed for this particular cycle. I mean,
I was reading a story on that, that the polling firms were embarrassed by what happened in 16. And they have changed adjusted their methodology to not have that happen again. Who knows? But
polling does have a certain amount of guesswork, and now it's intelligent guesswork. But they'll look at things like how many Democrats are registered in this state, how many Republicans are registered in this state, what is the likelihood of this percentage of registered voters being likely voters, and so they tried to figure all that out. So now my understanding is that they do kind of have this down to a science, but as you point out, Abe, if you make certain assumptions, presuppositions about the electorate, you lock that in whether you're right or wrong. So when some of these polls, they'll say, well, we oversampled Democrats because in the last X number of elections, registered Democrats were more likely to go to the polls than registered Republicans. But as we've all said, that doesn't take into account the excitement factor on the part of Trump supporters.
Yeah.
So all that is some kind of guesswork.
The only excitement that Biden has generated is based on unifying people in their hatred for Donald Trump.
Right.
Whether that can carry you across the finish line, I don't know. But Biden himself doesn't generate excitement because he's been around for 40 years in politics, and he doesn't really have a message per se that he's championing, like, you know, health care or whatever. He's just every day saying, Trump's bad, you need me. And so, I mean,
think about this conflicting messaging, right? He's endeavoring to present himself as the one who can, you know, restore normalcy in the country and you know, bring the type of normalcy, while at the very same time, the people who support him are trying to burn the country down. I mean, that is a conflict of visions, to where even among people who may not be Trump supporters, do they really believe that Joe Biden would be a source of any form of restoration to normalcy, when people who are supporting him, many of them are openly calling for the upending of our society? I don't see carrying the day.
Yeah. You're going to, I don't know what percentage, probably 20% of the American public doesn't pay, well, maybe more than that, but I would say casual observers of politics, you know, you could talk to them about the polls in Florida today at dinner, and they go, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Are you talking about the president? You talking about Trump versus what's the other guy's name?
Yeah,
the
old no malarkey.
you talking about Trump Biden? I'll get to that when it's time.
Let me ask you.
You know what I'm saying? There are some people like that.
Let me ask you about the black community. Okay, just I guess you know, you talk to family members and friends back in Louisiana. Do you think that there is a larger percentage of members that you have no way of knowing except anecdotally, mm-hmm, in the black community who are considering or will vote for Trump, but who absolutely won't tell anyone that they will? We're talking about that fear factor of getting blowback and how can you? Do you think there's any of that going on in the black community?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I can't speak for everybody, right. You know, but I do know that there are people who I know personally who did not vote for President Trump in the previous election, who have told me, I'm going to vote for him this time. I'm not telling anybody, but I'm going to vote for him this time. And now I'm not predicting this massive,
You're not predicting 30%.
Yeah, I'm not predicting 30%, but last time President Trump got, I believe, 8%, I could see it
being
as much.
But higher males.
Yeah, well, it was 15% of males, I believe, if I remember correctly. I think it could be anywhere between 10 and 20% in this election. And if that happens, it's over for Joe Biden.
Yeah, Trump's doing relatively well with Hispanic voters across the country, too. Have you noticed?
I'm wondering about Florida and Arizona. We just talked about some of these, mm-hmm, this poll, this ABC Washington Post poll, the fact that he is considering putting Barbara Lagoa on as his nominee for the Supreme Court. And I'm wondering if all this talk about socialism, the socialist left, is turning some Hispanics away.
Oh, yeah,
from the Cubans, Democratic Party. Cuban community,
the Cuban
in Florida.
Community, the people who've escaped from Venezuela, and the people who come to America, they're not Venezuelan necessarily, but they see and know what's happened to countries that go socialist.
Right.
And remember that fellow, Steve, at the Republican National Convention who was of... Was he a Cuban descent?
Yes.
It warned.
Yep.
His speech was a warning to America about going down the road of socialism.
Yeah, that was a powerful speech. You know, and you can tell that the Democrats are getting a little desperate too by the way that their hair is catching on fire. I have a little small 9-second clip of Nancy Pelosi. listen to how she's terming how she's talking about this upcoming court pick. And tell me if this isn't a little hyperbolic. Cut seven.
Clean air, clean water, pollution. It's they're coming after your children. Protect your children from what they're trying to do in this court.
What? Really?
What in the world is she talking about?
She's talking about the if Republicans have their, if President Trump has his way with the court pick, they're coming for your children.
She needs to go home and
well, but this is the
and
thing.
Eat some ice cream and cool off.
This is the thing. If the only thing, like you guys are saying, that they have to talk about is how bad Trump is, they don't really want to talk about their agenda because they don't know, or it's all over the map, or it's too far left, then they have to gin up a lot of fear in order for people to really hate Trump and get out to vote.
Coming for your children. If
clean air, clean water.
Based on the Supreme Court? Based nomination?
Yep.
Of
well, because the Supreme Court will strike down. This is her tactic.
Strike down children?
Well, probably Obamacare and climate change.
That's coming
all that.
For your children?
Yeah.
According to her?
I'm guessing that.
But
you're
killing them in the womb is not coming for your children.
No. Right.
I'm guessing. Yeah. I hesitate to peer into Nancy Pelosi's mind. Okay.
But there you see.
But there I see.
There you see their Baskin Robbins sign.
Oh no, she doesn't.
You.
She doesn't bother with Baskin Robbins.
High end ice cream.
High
that's
end.
That's too low on her ice right. cream totem pole.
Yes,
right.
That's right.
Baskin Robbins 31 flavors. Well, this is going to be. When is it? When is the debate?
Tuesday,
September 29th.
6 days away.
Yep. Tuesday.
Well, my wife said, "Don't plan anything."
Well, I'm watching that one.
We're gonna be there for the pregame with popcorn.
The pregame.
Any tailgating?
I have to ask for prayer, guys. I'm going to be in Oregon meeting my new granddaughter, and my daughter loves Jesus with her whole heart, but she does not like President Trump. So I don't even know if we're going to be watching the debate, but if we are, I'm going to be under severe.
You'll be watching it on your phone.
I think I might be from somewhere else or something.
You're a news junkie. You can't help yourself.
I know. I'm just saying it's going to be ugly.
It could be. You just set the ground rules.
She's a wonderful. Well, it's her house.
Does she like Biden?
She likes anybody but Trump. She doesn't like Biden. She's very pro-life. So she's not a fan of the Democrats.
So she's not going to vote for Biden.
She's probably not going to vote. Probably not.
Maybe not.
Like Patricia Heaton yesterday, the actress. I saw her. She's very pro-life, Catholic, and she's saying she was warning that the Democrats, I don't know if she used that, the liberal media is about to attack Christians because of the
Supreme Court nominee.
But then she said, I'm not voting.
Yes, she did say that. She's not voting either way.
I'm not voting for Trump or Biden because they're both unacceptable. And I thought to myself, well, if pro-life is a big issue with you, and you're talking about the lives of unborn babies.
Who's done more for the pro-life issue?
Than Donald Trump.
Than Donald Trump.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what cancels that out for a voter to say I'm not voting at all. I know for Patricia Heaton, the actress, is I'll be canceled from Hollywood.
Maybe she's going to secretly vote. That's what we're talking about, people being afraid.
Could be. All right, Steve, thanks so much, my friend.
My praiser.
Your praiser?
It's a praiser. It's my privilege and my pleasure combined.
I thought you said...
You fixed the Biden just now.
I thought you said watch Frazier. Anyway. All right, Ed, thank you.
Absolutely.
Hey, appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Cast of one-syllable names.
Yes. Thanks to Fred and Brent, two more one-syllable names. And we'll see you back here tomorrow, folks. Hope you have a great day. Join Abe this afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time for the Hamilton Corner.